Okay, we're in Psalm 84. Psalm 84 tonight. And I'm going to look at verses 10 through 12. And we're going to look at knowing your place tonight. And we all have a place in God's kingdom. Amen. We all have a job to do. As someone told me on Wednesday night, we all have a mission. We all have a purpose in the Christian world. And we know that. We say, well, yeah, Pastor, I know that. I have a purpose in the church. I have a purpose in my life. I know that. Okay, can I tell you something tonight? Is that if you know that, and you know where your place is supposed to be, and you know what you're doing, what you're supposed to be doing, and you know where that you're going, where you're supposed to be going, then there's great joy in that. Amen. There's great joy and satisfaction in the Lord. He said, the Lord is our satisfaction. And tonight we're going to look at that. And really comes down to this, is really God your master or not? If we're following after other masters, we're not going to be doing or going where we're supposed to be at. And can I tell you, the devil loves to bring doubt into that. If you are living today, this very moment, and maybe you've been thinking, I don't know, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to go in this direction, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not 100%. Or maybe you know what, I'm not where God wants me to be. This message is for you. If you're already in, you know your spot, praise God, you're going to be encouraged tonight. But for those of us that maybe that we did not, we're not where we're supposed to be at, or maybe we have doubts about that, this is a solution for you on how you can know where God would have you be in knowing your place. So in Psalm 84, verses 10 through 12, first off, we need to have a baseline here in Psalm 84, in that what's better, serving God or serving other things? And we see the answer here in Psalm 84. Let's stand together if we could. And we're going to read out loud together if we could. I love reading out loud. I love to hear you all read. Y'all did such a great job this morning. Psalm 84, verse number 10. And so let's read down verse 10, 11, and 12. And let's read out loud together. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them. Walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you will bless tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. Lord, we're overwhelmed. Our cup runs over. You've answered above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, we give you glory for that. You worked in the hearts of your people. It wasn't me. It wasn't the preacher. It was you and your spirit. I thank you for the ministry of the stars and the encouragement they were, because they just simply presented your word and the message from thy spirit. We thank you for that. And I pray that we not forget it, Lord, and that it would stick with us. I pray, Lord, that you be with the message tonight. Give me the word to say. Be with my voice, dear Lord. And I pray that we know our place, know that we're where we're supposed to be. Pray your God, your direction and blessing for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Knowing your place. And so we're going to start off tonight. When we look at this, what's the overarching thought? So number one tonight, it's a bit of a long point. Might be writing for a minute. But number one tonight, there's nothing better than serving God. Amen. There is nothing better. So we look at this in Psalm 84, verse number 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Can I tell you something tonight? He's not sitting there, I have to be a doorkeeper. Oh, woe is me. I have to stand in this place. I'm this doorkeeper. Everyone else is out having fun. Poochy lip. Woe is me. It's not what he's saying. He is saying just to have a humble, all he's doing is holding the door in the house of God and holding the door, but God's presence is there. It doesn't matter how big or how small of a job you have for God. God has a place for you. And that place, no matter how small the world tries to make it seem, there's no such thing as a small job with God. If it's your place and you're part of the body of Christ, it's a place of joy. It's a place of blessing. And can I tell you something? We're missing that in churches today. because the church can become just as much the rat race as any place else. Well, my job isn't important enough. My job isn't recognized enough. Pastor doesn't praise me enough. So-and-so doesn't recognize me enough. I'm going to get mad about that. I'm sorry. If we're serving God, that's all we need to be thankful for. Amen. And so there's nothing better than serving God. The psalmist is clear. One day in God's courts of service is better than a whole life spent seeking for something you can never find. People are searching every day looking for something. Can I tell you, as Christians, we found it. Amen. Do you realize you found it? It's sitting right in front of you. Do we have that same view? Sadly, there are a lot of Christians that don't. One day is better than 1,000. How many 1,000? I don't know if it's 1,000 days or 1,000 years. I'd say 1,000 years or 1,000 years, but let's go with 1,000 days. A one day in God's house is better than 2.74 years looking at for us out there somewhere else in the world. Psalm 141 verse 4 says, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties." So don't let my heart get turned that way. How do we get off track? How do we get off from the place that there's nothing better than serving God? How do we, maybe one day we used to have that view. Amen. Now, if we have this view and there's nothing better than serving God, then should we come into the house of God with long faces on? Should we come into the house of God? Oh, I can't wait to get home. You know, should we have this idea that when we sit down and we hear the word of God taught or preached or whatever the case may be, or when we get to sin, I hate singing. Oh, we better love singing because you're going to do it for all of eternity. Amen. So if you don't like it, get used to it. But if we have that idea, nothing better than serving God, it's going to change our outlook on things. Oh, man, I have to go knock on doors. No, I get to. Oh, I've got to do this. I got to deal with bratty bus kids. Right? No, I get to. Oh, trust me, I've been there. It's like, oh, Lord, please don't have that one kid come today. You know, sometimes you're wanting that, but at the same time, that one kid needs Jesus. Amen. More than probably others do. And so we need to understand that. It's all a matter of the heart. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Oh, is that our prayer every single day? Lord, don't let my heart get distracted. Don't let my heart get turned. But here's the question. Why is it better to serve God? For those that have been serving God and know your place, it's obvious. But for those that aren't satisfied with their place, they don't know their place yet, or they're not, don't have that realization, they can't answer that question. Why is it better to serve God? Well, let's do a comparison, if you will, tonight. So let's look at number two. There are other masters out there. There are other masters, and we've known about these, and we're just going to go over this briefly. This, by the way, what I'm preaching to you tonight is not rocket science, not earth-shattering. It's the same truth, but maybe from a little bit of a different perspective. I pray tonight that you know your place and that you know where God has you. Anything of doubt, anything that we can't say rock solid. And by the way, we can. Young people, listen to me. You can stand rock solid and say, this is what God wants me to do. Amen. You can stand rock solid and this is the decision I need to make. I need to step right here and I'm going to die on this spot because God told me to stand on it. Amen. God's with you. Don't sit there and, well, maybe, no. Get some confidence about you in knowing God's will. Amen. And if you don't know it's God's will, don't do it. There, see, I'll wear out the other range of my voice tonight. But some other masters here. So let's look at one of them. Well, the first being we've already looked at a couple weeks ago is the flesh. Oh, what a cruel master the flesh is. Promises you everything, promises you the world. Just do this, feel this, do what your heart desires, and you'll be satisfied. What an evil lie. It's not true. Not true. Vanity will lead you to a life of emptiness. Vanity, consumed with your appearance to other people, either your appearance physically or your appearance to other people, how you appear. Many times we worry a lot about how we appear. Can I tell you this? There is a difference between your testimony and what you care about, how you appear to other people. There's a big difference there, because our testimony is we're concerned about how we appear to God. Amen. And how we are presenting God to other people. Worrying about how other people view you, you'll turn into a people pleaser. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But the flesh, it's cruel, it's vain. Proud is about me. It's about what I want to do. It's about what I think. And its end is not a good end. Its end is death. In Romans 8, 6, for to be carnally minded is death. None of us want that. None of us want that. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Simple. You want to have life? Amen. You want to have peace? Serve God. Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, because the flesh is going to lead you to wickedness. The flesh is going to lead you to follow your heart's desires. And your heart's desires, can I tell you something? If you follow the fleshly desire of your heart, your feelings, they're always, 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 I'll say it again, always will lead you wrong. Because our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, if we're walking in the Spirit and walking with God, our heart's desire are going to be the things of God. Amen. Guess what? If and by the way, your fleshly heart is not guiding you to have a desire for souls. That's the Spirit. And bringing your heart and your mind under its control, and you desire to see people saved. Guess what? You're never going to go wrong leading people to the Lord. Amen. That's what God desires for us to do. That's what we're commanded to do. Oh, but the flesh is a cruel master, and too many people live by it, and it won't satisfy. Well, as a pastor, I don't live by the flesh. Now, all of these can be intertangled, but another one that's a big one today, and that's the God. You know what the God of our day is, and the God of our nation? At the end of the day, you know, we have this phrase, money talks, right? And we say, follow the money. You know, a lot of what our culture is built on is things, money. How much money you have, okay? You know, and can I tell you something? If you give yourself for money to be your master, turn over to 1 Timothy 6 while I go through some of these things, money, the pursuit of money is unending. Because when you get set a certain goal and you reach that goal, it's never enough. You're going to need more. You have a certain level of financial security, and you're going to want more. You have a certain amount of money for a certain particular lifestyle, and that lifestyle is going to grow. And you try to live within your means. The more, if I just made a little bit more money, I'd be okay. Then you would not be okay once you got to that point. And you're going to need more and more and more and more. It's a vicious monster that will consume your life. Amen. It gets quiet. Why? Because this is how we're taught to think in our nation today. Money, we've got to have money. We've got to provide for our family. I agree with that. We all need to work jobs. Y'all need to provide for our families. I understand that. However, that is not the driving force of how we are to live. That is what our culture says it is. However, our driving force is obedience to Christ. And God will provide our needs. Didn't He promise that? Amen. He knows we have need of all these things. He's going to provide our needs. Our driving force of our life is obedience to Christ. And then God will provide the job. God will provide the avenues of work. God will provide. We have to understand that. Money is an unending desire. Also, money is an ungrateful master. We'll get there. We're not going to be thankful for the money we have. Why? Because we need more. Need to get to the next position. Need to get to the next promotion. I can destroy your health. And you know what also? Trusting in money will destroy your faith in God. Because that's why Jesus said it was hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not because of his possessions, but because of his faith in them. And that he would not take his faith out of his possessions, out of his retirement, out of his 401k, out of his stock options, out of the influence and power it bought him. He was unwilling to separate that. It was unwilling. He went away sorrowing. Why? He was unwilling to take his faith away from purchasing, because the Jews taught if you gave a lot to the temple and did your good works and you followed the law, that you would purchase your place in paradise. So this man said, you know, I've done, I kept all these things from my youth. I have purchasing power, Jesus. This rabbi, he's teaching these things. I've done all these things. But then Jesus saw to the heart. Don't you love how Jesus can just get to the quick, cut to the quick of the matter? Amen. The Holy Spirit can do that. And when we were praying and we're asking for something, you ever had that happen? And God says, well, I understand what you're praying, but this is why you're praying this. And you're like, man, I thought I was hiding that pretty good. And really, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Let's get down to what's really going on. Ever had that happen? Don't raise your hand. But you know, we have that happen. Why? Because we don't know our hearts. God does. And so Jesus looks at that young man and says, sell all your possessions. Get rid of your position. Get rid of all your possessions, all that it brings you, all the pleasures of life. Throw it all away. And follow me. Put away that which you've put faith in. By the way, if you want to get saved, you got to put away your faith in pagan gods or yourself or false Christ, whatever it may be. Amen. That's the only way to come to Christ. And if you're putting faith in money to get you to heaven or anything at all, then you need to turn away from that, repent of that, because that's idolatry. And he wouldn't do it. You know, it ends in evil, 1 Timothy 6. Now, it's interesting, if you look at 1 Timothy, now, 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 10, we look at this, we use this as a general example. Can I tell you this? You know what this is a warning to? This is a warning to preachers. That's what this is for. This is a warning to preachers. Oh, there can be the temptation that, especially when someone comes in, and maybe some of you are going to be in ministry one day, and then I pray that's the case. I pray we send a lot of people out into ministry. Can I tell you what? That one day, that there might come a day where you're going to be tested of whether your message is for sale or not. Lester Olof went through that because he had it lined up for his ministry, Boys and Girls Home and those things. He said he had someone offer him, commit to him to pay, give him $1 million. This is back in the 60s. So $1 million is a lot of money. It's a lot of money today, a lot more back then. And but then he was hearing him. He said, you know, Brother Roloff, you know, you just need to ease up a little bit. You know, you preach really hard against, you know, television and these different things. And he said, you need to ease up a little bit, you know, on these things, you know, because you make people nervous. And he said, you know, I just really think you need to ease up. And Brother Roloff was like, or else what? Or else I'm not going to be able to give you that $1 million gift. And you know what he told him? I said, just keep your money because I'm not changing. You just keep it. I don't know. You think about that. What do you mean? We would, you know, we'd be have that, maybe that temptation. He goes, it wasn't even a moment's thought that I would change my message because my Lord told me, gave me a message, called me to preach, told me to preach, and it doesn't matter what kind of money, he said, I am not for sale. Amen. I pray as Christians, we're not for sale. Sometimes at work we are. Oh, when it's unpopular to be a Christian, like, well, you might lose your job. If you keep standing up for what you believe as a Christian, then lose your job. If they're telling you to violate, either be dishonest or violate anything the Word of God says, you know, they come up to you, well, you know, say, hey, well, I'm a Christian. Well, you shouldn't be telling people. You're not allowed to tell people you're a Christian at this workplace. I'm sorry. We do live in the United States of America for right now. Right, we don't live in the People's Republic of the United States, okay? It wants to go that way, but I'm sorry, there's no workplace in America that can tell you you can't just say you're a Christian. Well, they sure tell you they're a lesbian or whatever. Amen? And I'm not talking about necessarily telling people about Christ and that, well, you cannot invite people to church at your workplace. I'm sorry, we do have a freedom of speech in America today. And if you have that kind of pressure on you at work in different things, then you need to find another job. Amen. God will provide a better place for you to work that honors Him. Amen. Don't be for sale. Don't be for sale with your work schedule. Amen. Well, preacher, you know, I got to miss services sometimes. I understand sometimes those things come up, but on a regular basis, your work schedule can work around when you go to church. You know why? Because for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Guess what? When you start compromising going to church, you'll compromise in other things in short order. I'll just tell you that. Amen. And one commitment I have made that my parents taught me, do not compromise in going to church on Sunday, going to church on Wednesday. You can tell those people that when you work, that you're not working Wednesday and you're not working Sundays. Work any other day, but I'm not working on Wednesday nights and I'm not working on Sunday all day. It's the Lord's day. And somehow I'm still here. I didn't starve. Somehow I made every single job I ever had, never told me to work on those days. Whenever they did, I said, no. We had an agreement, and you guys stick by it. Praising the Lord for that post office worker that had an agreement with the post office, took it all the way to Supreme Court, and he won. Amen. Had a lot of guts than a lot of people in church today. I'm sorry, if you're compromising your time with God because of your work schedule, make sure something's not for sale. Make sure. 1 Timothy 6, I haven't even got to read the verses yet. 8:10. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Amen. We have a lot more than that today. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know what? Results are clear here. Not good results. Not good results. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Is it wrong to have money, to earn money? We all need to earn money. We all need money to live. That's how things work. God knows that. We sometimes act like, well, God doesn't understand. Yes, he does. He owns the wealth in all the world. He knows you need money. And there is a lot that governs money in the Bible. Money's not in of itself evil. All right? Just like guns aren't evil. The people, how you use it makes it evil or not evil. Because we have money coming in for missions. Amen? It's not evil because we need that. The missionaries need that money to spread the gospel. But loving it is. It's an unending, ungrateful master. Then a third master that people get drawn into is the praise of men. Oh, that we live to please men, to please people, to please sometimes to maybe to please a parent or to please a child or to please a spouse or whatever it is, that all that you live for is the praise of that person. Can I tell you something? That the praise of men is fleeting. It comes for a moment and it's gone. It's hollow. And also, do you know what it can do? It can make a chameleon out of you. Ever met those chameleon people? They can kind of blend in with anybody. The chameleon Christians, they're a Christian when they need to be, and they're not a Christian when they don't need to be. You know, they're shouting amen, looking right, and doing right and everything on Sunday morning, and wonderful message preacher that spoke to my heart. They're out drinking with their buddies on Tuesday because that's what the crowd they run with. That's what the praise of men is going to do. It's going to make you a chameleon, and it steals your honesty and your dignity. It steals it away. John 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, speaking of Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they, here it is, why? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's a powerful statement. Forever recorded in Scripture, that they believed on Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him because they were too afraid of losing their position and losing their whatever it may be. Look at Matthew chapter 6 briefly, and we'll look at a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 6, and we've looked at this in the Sermon on the Mount earlier this year. And whether it be the praise of men, and this talks about in three different situations. Talk about praying in public, and Jesus said, they thus pray with themselves. But it says here, interestingly enough, when it's on prayer or it's on fasting or their treasures, here it is, verse number one. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, said, truly, they have their reward. They're praised of men. That's the reward they're looking for, and they get it. But that's not what really matters. Look down at verse number 5 when it talks about prayer. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in corners and of streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They're heard of men. And they're all, wow, look at their spiritualness. But they have no reward with God. That's what really matters. And then verse number 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites or of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. They're not fasting unto God. They're more concerned what people think of them. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their reward. They're getting a reward. They're getting something out of it, but not anything that matters. Oh, that's what the praise of men will do to you. Haunting words. They have their reward, but they don't have mine. They don't have the reward of myself. They don't have the reward of my Father. They have their reward. They got what they wanted. Remember that. The praise of men, you'll get the praise, but that's all you'll get. And praise of men is hollow and vain. Well, let's look at number 3. So we looked at other masters. Okay, so I get what you're saying, preacher. Now 3, God, our master. Is God your master today? I hope he is. He can be your savior, but not your master. You can be saved, but not serving him today. We can serve these other masters. And we looked at their unforgiving, cruel, empty. Not somebody you want to be serving. Not a good deal. In the end, they cannot give us what we seek. Do you know what people seek? They seek freedom. They seek freedom from the freedom for our soul, freedom for our hearts, freedom for our minds. Can I tell you, this can only be found in Christ Jesus. Can only be found in him. But let's look at, what is our master like? We looked at how these other masters are. What is our master like? Well, we know our master first is kind. Amen. He is kind toward us. We see the example of Jesus. Those that were sinners, he was kind towards them. He was kind to Zacchaeus. He was kind to those that came and asked of him to heal their sick. He was kind to the centurion. He was kind to the woman at the well. He was kind even though they came to him seeking help, even though they came broken and sinful. Christ was kind to them. Amen. He's compassionate towards them. Teaches us we must be compassionate. God is almighty. He is our master. He is almighty, all powerful. Oh, money can't say that because there's a limit. Money can't buy you a ticket to heaven. Money can't heal your body. Money can't, but God can. God's holy. Be holy for I am holy. He is just. He's always going to treat us fair and justly. He's never going to give us a raw deal. He's perfect. He's all-knowing. He knows everything there is to know, and he knows everything about us. He knows what's going on in our situation. He's only going what's on in our life. He knows what's going on in our heart, in our mind. He knows everything. He's gracious. Undeserved, unmerited favor. God gives us so much grace. So my grace is sufficient for thee. He's loving. The greatest love story ever told of how he sent his son Jesus to die for us. He loves us. Man, this sounds like the one we need to be following. Amen. This sounds like the one we need to be serving. And by the way, this is the same God who wants to be a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But what should we desire? Well, there's 3 things that we should desire out of life. How do we know our place? So what do I need to get out of life? There should be 3 desires that you should want out of life. Write these down. Number 1, the smile of our master. That should be the one thing we want to get out of every single day, the smile of our master. Notice this doesn't have anything to do with making us happy or getting what I want, but that whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, that we earn the smile of our master. And this is something we earn every day. We live for him. The smile of our master. That's the first thing. The second thing is we should desire the will of our master. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What do you desire for me? What direction should I go? Who should I talk to? What place of service do you have for me? And we need to follow it every day. Not twice a week. Not 3 times a week, every single day. That should be your desire, to find the will of God. And what's the next part? Do it. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He would say to his disciple, follow me. This is my will, my direction. I'm showing you where to go. I'm going to go in front of you and show you where you need to go. And follow him every single day. And third, the love of our master, which we don't have to earn every day. But we've already been given that and have that. Amen. Even if we don't follow the first two parts as well as we should, we'll always have the third, the love of our Savior, the love of our Master. We should desire that. Can I tell you, if you follow these three things, this will change your life. It'll change how you view things. It'll change how you live. It'll change of what's really important in your life. In Matthew 25:21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Depending on what your focus is, you read that passage of Scripture, and depending on what part of the passage you are excited about, shows you where your heart is. If you're excited about, I will make thee ruler over many things, then you're not following the same master you should be. Great, I get something out of it. I do this, this is what I get. I get to be a big person. I get to be a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. No, what's the important part is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I live for. When I get to the end of my days, I pray that my Savior can say of me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the Lord knows I'm not perfect. The Lord knows that I could have been more faithful in many things in my days and the days going forward than I could have been. But my goal is to fulfill that, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. The few things that God has given me charge over, I pray that I'm faithful over them. That's my desire. So I will make thee overruler of many things. But here's the last part. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So, well, that's great. We're talking about heaven. It is a reference to heaven. Can I tell you something? If you are doing what you ought to be doing for God now, you're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. We have this mistaken idea that we can't have joy here. I'm sorry, we can. Amen. God wants us to have joy. I'm sorry. David has some joy. We have a psalm book because of joy. Amen. Yes, he has some despairing cries, but there's more joy in the book of Psalms than there is despairing. And we see the despairing first, and then comes what? The deliverance of God in joy. We need to enter into the joy of the Lord. How do we do that? Because a change of perspective. Psalm 84, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Do you trust in him as your master tonight? I pray that you do. So I know him as Savior, but do you follow his direction? And then not only that, do you know your place and the place where you're at? What happens? We're in the place we're supposed to be. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we're going the direction we're supposed to be going, but the devil has filled us with doubt. The devil has filled us with, well, are we missing out on something? Can I tell you something here? And I know it's beyond the shadow of any doubt and the testimony of many in here tonight. What goes on here and what goes on in your service to God, what goes on in your life is far better than what goes on out there. They don't have the answer. And they know they don't. They won't tell you that. But they don't. They're looking for something more. Can you say what the psalmist did? It's better to do the humblest job in the presence of my God, knowing where I'm supposed to be at, knowing my place. If my place is to be that doorkeeper, it's better to serve that place one day. It's better to dwell on that place than 1,000 other days anywhere else I would ever want to be. Can we honestly say in our hearts tonight, there's no place I would rather be than serving God? If you can't answer that truthfully, there's a problem tonight. and our hearts are so fickle, they change, they're tossed to and fro. But if there's something right now, I would rather be doing something else, talking to someone else, than being right here, right now, in the presence of God and His Word, there's a problem. There's a problem. Whether it be activity, social media, the next video game level, it could be anything. Sleeping. We all need more sleep at times, right? Is that how you live? Do we live in the way that we're knowing our place? We know we have that joy. It really is better. There's nothing greater than serving God. Amen. The sad thing, there's so many people that don't understand that because they never truly have. They've gone through the motions. They've tried it out. But can I tell you something? That you must commit yourself to Him and go all out for Him to know the joy of serving God. There's trials, there's troubles, there's tribulations. But you know, in the end, that's what we see with Paul. He was still joyful. So how did Paul keep going? Because no matter what I go through, there's nothing better than serving God. Live for a smile. And start, if you haven't been doing that, start right now, tonight. Just start. Well, I've got to do this first. No. Make Him your Lord and your Master tonight. Follow Him. Turn away from those others. And you will have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for tonight. Oh, Lord, as we go forward, and Lord, You're moving us forward, and we're thankful for forward momentum and forward direction. You are the captain of the ship. We thank You for Your guidance. You steer us through every storm and every trial. And Lord, I pray that none of us are tempted to jump ship. Oh, that we would not doubt You, Lord, that we live lives of faith. But Lord, tonight I pray that if any here this evening, they don't know the joy of serving You. They've lost that joy. They ask, well, what is it worth? Is it worth living for Him at all? Oh, that You would take the blinders off, Lord, and show them where the trouble is. Oh, that we would be able to echo that sentiment. It's better to be in that place of humble service than any other place in all the world. I pray Your blessing tonight. Guide us in Your word. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.